and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In my study about dispensations, let me remind you that each study is self-contained. In other words, every lesson presented will explain itself as we go through the series of lessons, not only the study of dispensations, but any other lessons that I would present, each one standalone. But they are a series, and you can go back and listen to the series if you would like to do that, and go to one of our websites, itsagoodliferadio.com. That address will be given to you again at the end of this lesson that we're getting ready to go through, but you can go back and go on that website and you can review what we're going through right now and further studies later on. Well, we are looking at the word dispensation, and let me say this, that some people really don't realize what was going on even before the dispensations began. And what was happening on earth and other places during the dispensation of innocence, we're going to look at that. And this, of course, would be the first dispensation, and that is the study of innocence, the dispensation of innocence. Well, let's look back now, and as we think of dispensations, remember, it's how man is handling God's economy, in other words, God's possessions. And when we think of this, it's more than just things. It's concerning us as well. It's how we are conducting ourselves and taking care of what God has given us the privilege of taking care of. So we need to be on our toes, if you would, and we need to listen to the voice of God as saved people and do what God wants us to do as individuals. Well, what was going on? Let's think of it like this. We often blame the devil for bringing sin into the world, but once again, and I've said this before, wherefore is by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is a personal thing. It was personal with Adam, and it's personal with myself and with you. And we have to give an account for our personal sin. We can't blame Adam for our personal sin, but we can certainly look back and say that he is the one that brought sin into the world, according to the Word of God. We often blame the devil. The devil was an instigator. He's the one that that came along and he tempted man. And we keep reading the Word of God, and we find out how that the devil came along and tempted Christ, just as he tempted Adam in the beginning. He tempted Christ with, he said, I'll give you the things of the world. I'll give the world to you. You'll be the king and all this. Well, you know, the devil, sometimes I believe he is really dumb, because here's the one he's trying to tempt, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the creator of the world. He owns the world, and once again, he's God, and here's the devil trying to tempt him, and every time that the devil placed something before Christ, he says, it is written, and thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the Bible is plain here that had Adam used some of the same things that Christ did, and in other words, the thing of the word. Now, God had spoken to Adam. He said, don't do this. Don't eat of the forbidden fruit, because in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. And Adam did die spiritually, and later on, he would die physically. But when we think of sin coming into the world, it was by Adam. But the devil was the instigator. Let me give you some scripture here concerning Lucifer and where he was and where he is now. I see, first of all, the mountain of God. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 16. And by the way, let me stop here just a moment. This all ties in with the dispensation of innocence. It leads up to it, and it's during this time that we want to look at. the mountain of God, Ezekiel 28:16. It says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Well, the mountain of God, of course, is heaven, and the one who is the covering cherub is spoken of here is Lucifer. Notice in Ezekiel, we keep reading chapter 28, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Well, Lucifer in Ezekiel 28:12 and 13 is called the king of Tyrus. And this is something that you and I need to be aware of, that God is using this name to let us know of the seriousness here. He's calling him the king of Tyrus. Of course, the devil is the king of sin. The devil is the king of deception. He's the king of all of these things that's ungodly. But we keep reading, and we see Ezekiel 28:14, and it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." Once again, it's talking about Lucifer. "And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." And as we read this scripture, please be aware that accounts are not always in chronological order. You'll notice that I'm looking at different sections of Ezekiel 28. You see, we must compare scripture with scripture as we're studying the Word of God. Now, the mountain of God, we see Satan there as Lucifer. In other words, he was there. He's the anointed cherub that covereth, and he's the one, actually, he was in charge of the music. He was in charge of the worship of God. And not only did he worship God himself, but he worshiped in music. He was the one who made sure that things were just right. Well, notice this. Satan has been cast out. In other words, he's fallen. He's cast out of the third heaven, God's abode, the mountain of God. There's a change that takes place. And we see that he was a covering cherub. He was the one in charge there of the worship of God. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" And once again in Ezekiel 28:15, it says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Now, some people believe that Satan is not going to be cast out of heaven, God's abode, where God lives, until the tribulation period when he's cast down. We read in Revelation 12, we're going to read that in just a moment, starting with verse 9, Revelation 12 and verse 9. And as we read this, keep in mind that some believe that this is actually saying that he was cast out, or he will be cast out during the tribulation. But what I see by comparing scripture with scripture, especially Isaiah chapter 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" It's already happened according to the scripture as we study and we rightly divide the word of God. First of all, God would not put up with sin in his presence. God would not put up with iniquity in his presence. God would not allow sin in his heaven. And therefore, Satan, I believe, has already been cast out of heaven, contrary to some people's belief that he will be cast out during the tribulation period. Once again, the tribulation is a dispensation. We'll be studying that later on. Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 9, and we'll read down through there. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil." Now notice, this is past tense. "Was cast out, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, some would take that and they would say, well, you see, there Satan approached God and he was in the presence of God. He accused us day and night. That's the brethren. That's saved people. And we look in the book of Job and it says that he was before God. Well, let me ask you this. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you ever pray? Do you go to the Lord, the throne of grace, and pray? Well, the devil also can go to the throne. And just as we pray, I believe that he could converse with God. And now, of course, he's not saved. We are. God listens to our prayers and he answers our prayers. And I believe that Satan would approach God just as we do and just as we can. He's not in his presence as such. We consider ourselves in the presence of the Lord when we go to him in prayer. And I believe this is the way that we need to see Satan in the presence of God. He speaks to him. He accuses the brethren day and night. But we have a great advocate there that's taking our defense, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us and he's cleansed us from all sin. And therefore, our great advocate, Jesus Christ, refutes anything that the devil brings to the God the Father. He refutes these things, and I can hear the God the Father saying, overruled, Satan. What you're saying is overruled. And Jesus goes ahead and he presents what is right, and he says, I'm all righteous, and these people that he's accusing, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God's cast these things down. He cast the ungodly angels out. And please note that in these verses that I'm getting ready to read, a description is given and places are mentioned. Judgment is pronounced. I believe Satan has been cast down. The world does not have to wait for the devil. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The prince of the power of the air is Satan. And we need to realize that today. He's ruling a vast multitude of fallen angels. Spiritual wickedness, it says, in high places. That is, heavenly places. And you say, well, that's heaven. No, consider this. The first heaven is right around us. It's the air around us. He's the prince and power of the air. And he's opposing God and his people, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. So when we blame the devil for all sin, well, he's the instigator. But Adam brought sin into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. And we need to be clear on this when we start studying the dispensations. And we've already talked about what a dispensation is and what it is not. But we're going into the dispensation of innocence. And we need to understand that the devil was the one that tempted Adam, and Adam gave in to that temptation. I wonder if you're being tempted today as a child of God. As a child of God, you too can go to the Lord in prayer, and you can say, get thee behind me, Satan. And you and I can go to the great advocate, and we can say, Lord, represent me, because I need your help. Lord, please let my heavenly Father know that I've been cleansed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and there is now no condemnation for me upon me, because I have trusted you as my Lord and Savior. And if you've not trusted him as Savior, you need to do that today by saying, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and my God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.